Afternoon to be able to have Brother Russo with us, Robinson Grusso, excuse me. And again, I had the opportunity to receive contact from him. And as I was reading about him and his ministry, God just touched my heart and said he has a real heart for souls, has a real desire to see people saved, as well as a real desire and a heart for his own country. And I felt like that's the kind of guy we want to have come and share with us and challenge our hearts. So I'm going to invite him to come at this time. And I know you're going to have a video right up front, but if you want to introduce that, and then you can go from there. Thank you.
Do you have a cordless microphone?
Yes.
If I can use it. Lunch with the Kennys, what a blessing it is, you know. So oftentimes when I stand, you know, to speak or preach, you know, I don't often, you know, fill up my belly with, you know, stuff and food. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Right, get it here. Thank you.
And then that puts on your side and then turn it on right.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate that. Hi, can you hear me well? Praise the Lord. Amen. So thank you so much. The Kennys, we had lunch together today and we went to, what's that place called? Arby's or whatever. It was a blessing, you know. Thank you so much for that. And again, thank you, Pastor, for having me here. And also, the hotel was amazing. And I just came in yesterday around 3 o'clock and just get some rest and do some study and watching some politics too, news, stuff like that. That's what I do. But I thank you so very much for that. What a blessing it is. And again, for those who doesn't know me here, my name is Robinson Grusso. It's a hard name to pronounce, and I always connect it to Robinson Grusso. All right? So I was born and raised in Haiti. You know, Haiti is my homeland. And this is why, when I first come here, I had to learn to speak just like you a little bit. I'm still learning English, and pray for me. And I need to speak a little bit slow, and I want all of you to understand. Before I get to speak, I want to do some testing this afternoon. How many of you that can hear me well? Anyone here, you can hear me? Or should I go slow? Or just you have a hard time to hear me? All right, good. I see thumb up. Thank you so very much for that here. So just like Pastor said this morning, you know, and I was born and raised in Haiti. I got saved over there because of mission. Missionary went to my country. I was with a single mom. And nobody take me to church. And we didn't have a bus ministry. Nothing like that. But I want to say this to you this afternoon. I thank God for mission. And I thank God for people like you here who has a burden for mission, those who are willing to go to those places that are untouched with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for people like you who pray for missionary. And also I thank God for people who support missionary. If it hasn't been for mission or for pastor or church like you, I don't know where would I be today. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, and later on we are going to play a video. And I'm going to show you a glimpse about Haiti. Before that, I just want to share a little bit my testimony and how I got saved, you know. And, you know, that in Haiti, we don't call missionary. We call them pastor. And, of course, they are pastor. So that means he has his assistant pastor that live next door and happened to be my neighbor and invited me to his house and as a friend. So on Tuesday night, and I got invited for kind of like game night. And then we play game. And he asked me this question that I've been asking people for probably 14 years right now. He said that to me, Robinson, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven? I said, well, no, I don't know. I don't think so because, you know, I said that to him. I haven't been baptized. They were baptized and I don't go to church, but I need to get all those things right. He said, no, listen. Right now, you can know for sure when you die, you can be in heaven. And he took a Bible just like that. It was a French Bible. And just opened it and showed me how to get saved. So, you know, and I was listening to your message this morning, you know, about when you're preaching, you know. When I got saved, and I said, okay, now, praise God, I'm saved. And I don't want to go to church. I give all kind of excuse. You my thinking that people can give. And I just, I was talking to Mrs. Kenny to just give that testimony about, you know, when she didn't want to go to church, you know, give an excuse. So I said, well, I mean, I was 17, and I give all kind of excuses. I said, well, I have school stuff to do, and I don't have clothes for church. And I give all kind of excuses, and I always point. I said, I will go this Sunday, and I'll never make it. And one time, he pointed his finger on my face. He said, listen, you are 17, a teenager, and I think right now you need to learn to have enough character. When somebody asks you for something, you need to have courage to say yes or no. And I was so convicted. And I said, okay, this coming Sunday, I promise I'll come. And I went there, and it was a blessing. It was good, and I just kept going. And our pastor, you know, I got baptized 2 weeks later. And our pastor, the first thing he did for us as a new convert is to take a class that's called personal evangelism. And to we have some Bible verses, such highlighting verses to show, you know, especially in the Romans Road, and to show all those verses that can, you know, we can witness to others every Sunday night at 5 o'clock before church start. And we always have 1 hour class like that. And it was such a blessing. And also 2 years later, God has called me to preach. And I was doing to preach. And also God opened door for me. You know, my dad lived in Florida for over 20 years and helped me to come to this country. And then I made my way to Bible College. Some of you might know Landmark Baptist College. And I went there for 4 years. So right now, I am on deputation urgent support to go to Haiti. Haiti is a tough country when it's tough to the gospel. We have 80% worship voodoo. When I think about voodoo, it's Catholicism mixed with voodoo, witchcraft. And some of you, I met the couple there, just, you know, Louisiana as well. Some of you have been there as well, and they have some kind of like voodoo over there too. And we also have like 15% charismatic mixing with Jehovah's Witnesses and also Mormonism as well. And we only have 5% Baptist. Now, just listen carefully. Some of those churches who claim to be a Baptist, they have the name that called Baptist Church, but they don't have the doctrine. Those people, some of those people believe that you can lose your salvation. I mean, it's something that, you know, when you fell in sin, you lose it. We ask God again to save you. It's really tough, and people don't believe in eternal security. But I mean, I believe once you save, you're always saved, you know. Even if you don't believe it, you know, but only one thing as a believer, if you believe that you can lose your salvation, now what happened, that doesn't mean that you lose it. So I believe we are kept by the power of God. Now, one thing, if you believe that, that's when you won't be able to just enjoy the Christian life or have the joy of the Lord in your life. But I'm so grateful. I believe not only I'm saved, I know it. So it's a blessing. So right now what I want to do here, I'd like to play my video. It's 4 minutes and 26 seconds. And for you, and I trust that it will be a blessing to you this afternoon. Okay? So whenever this sound, gentlemen ready, just he can play my video for me.
Hello, friend. Moi c'est Robinson Grisso. Bon Dieu relè moi pour un défi missionnaire en Haïti. Et moi besoin répondre à appel ça. God has called me to be a missionary to Haiti, and I have to answer that call.
With an estimated 10.6 million people, Haiti is the most populous country in the Caribbean islands, located about a 3.5-hour flight from the United States. This small and densely populated island nation has a vibrant history of hard-fought freedom from French slavery, only to be found in spiritual slavery to a Roman Catholicism that is permeated with voodoo and witchcraft. Approximately 80% of the population practices voodoo. Even the founders of their independence dedicated their nation with the blood of pigs and birds. Very few in this tropical country believe the biblical truths of salvation by grace through faith. We believe that the only hope for Haiti is not through sacrifice of blood to Satan, but the blood Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary for these dear Haitian people. No doubt, we here in America are familiar with Haiti by way of tragic loss that we so often see in the news. In the last decade alone, nearly 400,000 Haitians have died by reason of natural disaster, and the corrupt government daily oppresses its people. My friend, we'd like for you to know that Robinson's beloved country is in deep darkness without a savior. And without the gospel, this country is one step away from hell. Haiti depends on people like you who pray, give, and send missionaries to rescue their lost souls.
Well, I got saved in Haiti. And my home was ungodly, and I didn't get able to go to church and anywhere, you know. Nobody taught me how to know God. So when I was 17 years old, there's a couple guys, and they just came from my neighborhood, and they began to make friends with me, you know, invited me to their home. And after that, they talked to me. One of them talked to me about Christ, you know, and they led me to Christ, and I trusted Christ as my Savior that night. And I can say that I got saved because of the work of mission. I'm the fruit of mission, you know. People who give and pray and also go. This is how I got saved. And during this time, I was praying for that. I said, God, I want you to open. If you call me in ministry, I want you to open the door for me to go to Bible college. And everything that you can provide for me, and I can serve you. And after that, I went to Bible college, and I finished it. I finished 4 years Bible college, you know. So here am I right now, you know. And I can't get away from it, you know. I believe this is God's call to my life, to go to my homeland and to share the gospel. Planting churches, you know, this is the most important thing, you know. Winning soul to Christ, but not just only winning them to Christ, also discipleship. This is most important thing, you know. Accomplish the Great Commission. And also, my desire is to establish Bible Institute to training young men how to win others to Christ. And also, my goal is to broadcast the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ on the radio station. Number one is your prayer is count. And number two, your financial support is count, because it's very important in the feeding of. And also, if God call you in mission field and you know you don't know where to go, just pray about Haiti, because we have a field that really need people. I mean, our people need the road. And if you think God calls you for mission, and just what about doing a mission field and go to our country and to see exactly what God has for you to do. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for watching, and I certainly appreciate that. Let me mention a couple of things here before I get to the message. You know what? I don't like to see myself talking. That's my big problem, you know. So anyway, here. I started deputation last October 2017, and this coming October I'll be 2 years on deputation. And God blessed me with 78% on support right now. And I'm hoping to go back to Haiti in March 2020. That's a target date. So I chose that again, and you pray for me. I believe in prayer. I certainly do. And I pray for missionaries. Sometimes I have a list in my car, you know, and I'm driving, not in the busy traffic, you know, because I don't want to get to heaven quickly. So what I do, I just pray for a missionary. And also I have a list in twice a week, and I have a prayer list. I want to be honest with you. I don't like keeping people prayer card. What I do, I just take their name and the family name, I just added on my prayer list and pray for them. You know, I believe missionaries need prayer as well. So please pray for me. So this, I always just mention this here. I always tell people, don't place my prayer card in a place that you won't see it. Right? For ladies, maybe the best place for ladies can place my prayer card is like in the fridge door. Every time you open your fridge and you might see somebody's prayer card and just pray for that person, okay? How about men? Maybe just you would say, I love reading newspaper. Maybe just you would know your newspaper, maybe Lansing News, you know. So use it as a front page newspaper. What's in the front page today? Missionary in prayer. Pray for missionary. How about young people? Now, you young people, you're the best place. I'd like to encourage you. You know it. Watch this carefully. All right? Before you open your cell phone, I mean, just what you want to see a missionary that needs prayer, please place my prayer card in a place that you might see it and you can pray for me. And I'll be very appreciative that. And again, my table is over there, and I got some prayer card. If you don't get one, please, I'd like to encourage you to get one of my prayer cards as well. And also, if you are willing to, you can sign up for my mailing letter. Every other month, I send my prayer letter as well. And also, you can also follow me if you want to watch my video. I have a website as well. And also, I have a Facebook page if you're on Facebook. And I said to people like that, now listen, hey, I come to your church and now you are very kind with me here. Very so kind and very nice to me. And I certainly appreciate that. And some of you take me out for lunch. That's a very kindness you show to me. Now listen, I come here, you may not like me here, but that's all right. Now it's one thing I want you to do for me. Go ahead on my Facebook page and like me on Facebook, okay? Press like. Like my page on Facebook and you can follow me. And I most likely post my update as well. And please do that for me as well. So before I get to speak, any question before, you know, anything that you want to hear, something that I don't mention. Anyone here has any question here? Maybe if you, yes, ma'am.
Will you be in the capital city?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to be in the central part in Haiti. And thank you for asking this. That's what I always ask questions, you know. People, sometimes something I don't mention, and via your question, I can just, you know, add up something. And I'll be in a place that's called Henge. It's called, in French word, Plateau Central. Those Haitian family might know exactly, Plateau Central. It's a central part in Haiti that has 50,000 people on it. And there are very few missionaries over there. And this is where exactly God led me to go over there. Now, here's one thing what happened. In March 2020, that's the target date for me to go there. I'm going to be working with another missionary for a little bit. I cannot go ahead and, as a single man, start a church by myself, you know. And my pastor as well, we talk and stuff like that. And I will be starting a church. But for so far, for next few months or four months, I'm going to be working with another missionary before I get to start a church. So it's called Henge, central part in Haiti. Thank you so much for asking. Anyone else? One more question, if you have one. Yes, sir.
Any of your family saved back in Haiti?
I led one of my sister in Haiti. She's married. I led her to Christ. And also I have one. She lives in South Florida. I led her to Christ. So my dad, I do my best to witness to all my family. Some of them are receptive. Some of them are not. I'm still praying for those salvation. Now, I want to say this to you. Their blood is not on my hand. But I pray for their salvation, okay? But only two of them I got to lead to Christ, all right? Thank you so much for that, and I appreciate that. Okay, yes, ma'am.
What percentage are you?
78% right now on support. 78% right now on support I am. And I'm hoping to get back to Haiti in March 2020. Thank you so much for asking, okay? So if you have any question, please, and you can catch me by my table. And for the time's sake, if you have your Bible, please, and Pastor, how much time I got left? Should I
stop? We usually stop at 2, but if you go a little after, it's okay.
Right, I'm trying to do my best. I know you are tired, you want to get some nap here. And when you get home, I'm trying to do my best to be respectful with your time here. In John chapter 9, we have a story here about the man. The Bible said that this man was born blind. In John chapter 9, and here, that's a wonderful story here about a blind man here this morning, but I don't have time, you know, sometimes, you know, my introduction always longer than my message. But I'm trying to do some shortcuts here, especially when it's like I have like 25 minutes, maybe 24 minutes to be finished my message tonight, this evening here. John chapter 9, the Bible said here in verse number 1, and as Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was born blind from his birth. And I want you to stop here for a second. I'm going to read probably four verses here. The Bible says here, Jesus Christ saw this man that was born blind. Now here, I don't think Jesus Christ has an appointment to visit that man. No. The Bible said he's passing by, but he saw this man was born blind. Now, how often, you know, as a believer, you know, Christ always put people in your path. Maybe you go somewhere. Maybe you go shopping in Walmart or whatever place. Maybe you always see someone. But the Bible said he's passing by. He's headed somewhere. But he saw. But he didn't keep going. But he stopped. Oftentimes, and you see, God placed people like that in your path. And you go somewhere. Sometimes we get so busy by doing our own stuff, and it's all about me. But we always fail to see a people God put in your path. And when the last time you asked God, please, God, and I'm going to work, would you please place someone on my path and place someone on my way? Now here, Jesus Christ, he didn't keep going. He stopped to see what's happened here. Let's finish here, this verse number 2 here. And verse number 2 said, and as his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that was born blind? Verse 3, Jesus answered and said, and neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now is my text verse this evening here. Verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, and the night cometh when no man can walk. Would you please pray with me and for me? Father, we thank you so much for this evening. And Lord, and I ask you to help me to be a blessing here. I don't pray just because, you know, every time put your preacher, they just pray before. I just pray because I need you. And I want to be a blessing for your people. Pastor, this evening, preach a fabulous message, and it was a blessing to me. The singing that I heard, Lord, the fellowship, and people that take me out for lunch. Father, would you please, for the next few moments I'm having here right now, would you please help me to be a blessing? Holy Spirit, give me word to say and help me to speak clear and slow, and people might hear. And then this message would you please place it in the heart of your people? And I believe, Lord, if you do that, this will lead them to a place of decision. Father, we love you. In Christ, in my way, amen. Thank you so much for that. Here, the Bible said here, and as Jesus passed by, if I could preach this evening here on this title here that said, and as Jesus passed by, the Bible said here, he saw. And I want to call this number one a vision. You know, oftentimes in why we see it doesn't seem to us, and sometimes we care because we don't have a vision. The Bible said here, he saw this man was born blind. And then by the man of William Booth, some of you might read his story. He was a man that was found in Salvation Army. And he made a statement like that. I may not be able to quote him the same way he did. And he said something like, he said, some Christian or some preacher ought to visit hell for 5 minutes over there to see people crying, screaming, and when you get back, you will have a burden and a vision for people. But can I say this to you this evening? And I just call this evening because, you know, I'm used to evening service and morning service, but you have to forgive me. I want to say this afternoon, okay? You know, sometimes in some Christian ought to visit some of the places like Philippines or Africa or some of the places or Haiti to see how people live. So once you see in your eyes the God, I believe God will bring you a vision. The Bible said Christ is sound. Now when he saw here, and he said, I want to do something, and for this man, and the Bible said here in the book of in Lamentation chapter 3, verse number 51, mine eye affecteth my heart. When you see something in your eyes, with your eyes, it does something in your heart. Number one, I want to say here, and what Christ saw, I want to call this a vision. And without a vision, people perish. When you see something with your eyes, it will do something in your heart. It will soft your heart and bring you a sort of, and I would say, a broken heart. I would call this number 2 a compassion. The Bible said here, in Christ, when he saw the multitude, he was moving what? In compassion. And I wonder, do you seem to have compassion for those who are lost? And I'm so thankful when I was lost, and that meant just in call and go to Haiti as a missionary in sort of church, and because of that, and I came to know Christ as my Savior. Number one, I'll say, when you see something, that's called a vision. Number two, a vision will lead you to a compassion. The Bible said when he saw the multitude, he was moved in compassion. Not only him. And in verse number 4, chapter 9, the Bible said here, and I must walk. I must walk the walk of him that sent me. Number one, again, a vision. Number two, a compassion. It's number three. When you have a compassion, it will lead you to do something. He said, I must walk. I call this number three, action. And again, the Bible said, when he saw the multitude was moving, compassion, movement, action, and it will lead you to something. And it's number four, the last one. That doesn't mean I'm finished my message. I'm trying to build my introduction here with an outline. Here, number one, a vision. Number two, compassion. Number three, action. He's the last one. And the same verse, verse number four. While it is day, he said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me. I don't care the word sent. Every time, you don't see mission in the Bible. But every time you see the word sent, that's mean, and it's mean mission, sent out. And now, listen carefully, please. And here, the Bible said here, the walk of him that sent me, Christ said, someone sent me. I want to call this mission. And again, number one, a vision. Number two, compassion. Number three, action. Number four, vision. I mean, mission, I should say. Bible said, Christ is the greatest missionary who ever lived. And came down and down the cross of Calvary for our sins. Now listen, when Christ, his work, he said, it is finished. His work is done. Now listen, he leave a great burden to our work upon the local church. And Christ, he ascended to heaven. And he said to the believer, now, it's your turn right now. You do the same thing right now as a believer. You know, oftentimes I got to preach with many places, and from teenager, some young people, or some of the young, very lowest, just 7 years or 8 years, girls, and very, just Sunday school class, very young people, little kids, boys and girls. You know, oftentimes in every place I go, they always answer the same thing. And I said to them, and I said, okay, now, I asked them, what is a missionary? And they all give me all kind of answer. You know, you think sometimes in you, the little kids in the church, you think they don't listen. Yes, they do listen. I believe they're just good listener than adult. Now, and I said, okay, what is a missionary? They said, okay, it's someone that tell others about Jesus. That's a good answer. It's someone that go to places and preach the gospel to in the world and give me all kind of great answer. And I said, okay, that's great. I said, okay. I asked them, okay, I said, now, who can be a missionary? Do you know what they said to me? All of us. I said, all of us. That's right, all of us. You see, sometimes as a believer, we have a mindset. You think, well, a missionary is someone that, you know, has to have a college degree or someone that have a country just like me or to go to a place. And now listen, the Bible said all of us, we are missionaries. If you are saved this afternoon, you are a missionary. How many of you have been born again here? Where's your hand? Your job, your mission is to tell others about Jesus. All of us are missionaries. And oftentimes we misunderstand. Now listen, Christ leave that purpose to a local church and said, go ye to the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, it's sad to see in our local churches today, and people think, well, and we have a mission conference or mission month, and we are going to support this missionary. And I want to be as honest as I can be this afternoon to you. Can I say this to you tonight? You don't want to allow your money to replace what you need to be doing for the Lord. Oftentimes, well, here's what I give for mission to support me. That's great. That's awesome. Now, I want to be honest with you. Now, once you give that little check and to support your missionary, that doesn't mean that and you're not going to go to your local area to tell others about Jesus Christ. And your job, the Bible said, if you are saving, you need to tell others about Jesus Christ. That's what you are supposed to be doing. Do I have a scripture to support that? Yes. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. As a missionary, I'm the extension. And let me just read for you here for clear. I can make some comment here if I can here. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Verse number 8 says here, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Now, let me stop here for a second. I believe God chose America as a mission agency. In other words, as a headquarters and to send other people to all those places. Let me show you this quickly. I'm not trying to... Now, listen, I know this text is applied for, you know, when Christ or to all those disciples, just give a comment here. Both in Jerusalem, and I believe this, your Jerusalem is Lansing, here. Lansing area. Now, also here in all Judea and the Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, while I'm doing my job here, while I'm trying to win Lansing to Christ and all those places, now, the Bible said, I don't want to forget the uttermost part that overseas. Now, I am the one that represents the uttermost part. Those places you cannot go as a missionary, but you can go to Lansing. You can go to your neighbor, Walmart, or some of the places, and that's your job here. Now, let me just remind you this evening, as a believer, God placed you here to win others to be a missionary to your people here. I can't win your people. I can't start a church here. I cannot. People won't come because I speak a broken English. But I believe if you go and to tell them, they will hear. Uttermost part. I'm here to represent the uttermost part. Now, you're not going to support a missionary only. You, oftentimes, and I'm just serious, churches focus on all those overseas, but they forget exactly what they are supposed to be doing here in this local, your Samaria, Lansing. Can I just say this to you as a believer? Some of you have been saved for, I don't know, just 40 years, 20 years. 200 years? No, that's not true. Now listen. You know, I don't know who you are. This is my first time you meet me here. And my first time in you being so kind. You've been saved for a long time. You know, one thing I just want to remind you, when you get to heaven, as the Bible said, in my Father's house has many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. One day, we all know as a believer, we are going to be in heaven, and when the church is raptured, all of us, we are going to be in the air. But let me just say this to you. One thing, some of you own a house here. You will leave this behind. I don't know how much money you have in your bank account or your car you drive, and all those things will, this message will kind of like change direction right now, you know. This is not my purpose of preaching this, you know, my just outline, I just left it behind. But anyway, it's all good. So anyway, now let me just say this to you. One thing that you can bring with you in heaven, not your money, not your house, is someone that you spend time in and take a Bible to show that person how to get saved. But I'm so glad that when I get to heaven, I will see someone else say, oh, yeah. I did witness to you. You got saved because the Holy Spirit helped me to point you to Jesus Christ. But I wonder, some of you here, when you get there, will you see someone that you witness to? Maybe someone that you gave a gospel tract, that person saved because you take a time to give that person a gospel tract. Will you see someone? Only one thing you will see, someone that you witness to. You will see that person in heaven. You won't see anything else. And as a believer, maybe some of you have been saved for a long time, but never know or never take a time to show someone how to get saved, how to be born again. Last time you talked to someone about Jesus, You said, well, I don't have skill in, and I don't have a college degree. Now listen, soul winning is not the matter of what you know. It's obedience. You obey Christ. There are times in my life, and listen, I don't feel like to go soul winning, and I don't feel like to witness, but I go because it's a command that needs to be obeyed. When a church announces, hey, we have a church wide soul winning today, this Saturday, everybody just, you're welcome to come. Whatever you come. Think about it, we have a church like 500 or 600 places I've been to. We have like soul winning, just few people come. Where are the others? Now listen, don't get me wrong. I certainly understand people have health problems. You can't be able to walk and stuff like that, you know. But now it doesn't have to be on Saturday. I, as a believer, we are to be soul conscious every day. Ask God, God, please, and I'm going out today. Bring someone on my way. Bring someone on my path. And let me just encourage you. People, carry gospel tract in your pocket. Carry a Bible with you because you know the people you might meet. Bible says, as Jesus passed by and he saw, he was ready. He was ready. He passing by. Now you pass by every day, you see someone that need help. Next few minutes I have here, let me just try to have like 7 minutes left. I promise I'll be on time. I promise here. Let me go back to my outline for a second here and to bring something here. The Bible said in verse, has my text verse here, again, just like I said in verse number 4, chapter 9 here. And I lost my place for a second. Okay. The Bible says, Christ said, I must work. He didn't say, I may work, or I might work, or I can work. He said, I must do something. I must work. And I want to call this number one, Christ's obligation for works. He said, I must do something. His obligation for works. And can I say this to a believer? This is the same thing too. It's your obligation to do something for God. The Bible said, you are saved to do some works. Can I say this to you? As a believer, the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. Now listen. And the verse 10 said, you are the workmanship created unto good works. When you are saved, God is not finished with you. Can I say it this way for you? Salvation is more than being saved. There's much more God wants us to do and wants us to learn. And as a Christian, much more. Oftentimes, if people are born again, that's your destiny, only stage of born again. That's it. They don't have to go further for God. They don't study the Bible. They don't pray. They don't winning soul. Nothing. Now listen, we are to move forward as a believer. God wants us to move forward as a Christian. We are living right now in a society where people, especially our young people today, developing a society where people think work is kind of like a cursing word. I need this free. And I said this to you, if you receive a free check from the government, it's not free. It came from taxpayer money, people, who, hardworking people, they steal it. That's what happened right now. Just, well, in free healthcare and free food stamp and everything, there's nothing is free. You must work to your own people. Must work. And the same thing that happened in our local church, too. The same thing. I don't call it, in society, we call it a welfare, socialism society. And the same thing in our church is the way socialism Christianity. We just become people that receiving, feed me, give me this and feed me. Now, as a believer, what everything you receive here, not just to keep in storage. I wish I have more time, but I just want to stop here for a second here. Now, listen, what you receive, you need to give it to someone else as a believer. I want to say number one, it's obligation, folks. Yours too, it's obligation. You are to work. Do something. I don't think you say, well, I'm saved, Pastor, and I've been here in this church for a long time, but I want to do something for God, Pastor. What can I do, Pastor? I don't think Pastor will say, well, there's nothing for you to do here. Would you say that? Of course not. Of course not. I said, well, praise God, brother and sister. Bless your heart. And we have this church to be clean every Saturday. Please come and show up. And hey, here's a bunch of gospel tracts. And give to and bring some in your pocket and pass out. There are plenty of works for all of us to do here as a believer. His obligation. Number two, quickly. He said, I must work. The one that sent me. You see, his obligation for works. Number two, not only his obligation for works here. I got 3 minutes left. Also, here I must work. The one that sent me. Sent me. It sounds like his obedience as well. He said, someone sent me. You cannot be a good Christian if you're not willing to obey God. Christ said, number one, his obligation. Number two, is obedience to the Father. He said, I'm here. Every time Christ is talking, he always mentioned, hey, listen, and I'm here and because I want to represent my Father. My Father sent me here to do something here. As a believer, I think we ought to have that kind of obedience in our life. How? Pretty simple. In order to have that obedience, we must have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Obedience unto death. He said, let this mind be in you. We have to ask God every day. We are living in this such a wicked flesh, doesn't want to surrender. And every day as a believer, he said, God, and I want to yield this flesh unto you. And as Paul said, hey, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Obedience, believer. Mind of Christ, obey. He's the last one. In 1 minute, I'll be done. Quickly. Close my Bible. He's the last one. He said the time is short in the last part of it. I don't have time to read it. The time is short. He talked about his observation. That's mean he observed the time. I want to say number one, his obligation to works. Number two, his obedience to the Father, his observation. He observed the time. He said, well, the time is short. I don't have time to do what I'm supposed to be doing, and I want to use this time. Can I tell you something this evening? The time is short. If you want to do something for God, this is the time right now. Now. That's the time to do something. If you want to go soul winning, door knocking, that's the time. Especially young people, you want to live a life for God, a clean life, this is the time right now. You don't have to say, well, I want to stay until when I'm age 40. And oftentimes we think, well, Christianity is something like my grandma is doing. When I get old and on the age, I can do it too. No. This is the time right now to do something for God. The Bible said, redeeming the time. Because the day are evil. Redeeming the time. I want to close with an illustration. I will be done here. I just do some shortcut of my message, you know. I wasn't supposed to be quick like that. But anyway. I give you an example. Bible said redeeming the time in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16. Redeeming, what does that mean? I'll be closing with you. I'm not going to put one in credit card this evening. I'm trying to give an example. If you don't have one, that's you do the right things here. I have a credit card and I have a debit card. You know what? I don't like using my debit card. But according to Wells Fargo, I bank with Wells Fargo. Now, they said to me, I have to use my debit card 12 times in a month. 12 times. Unless I get charged $12.50. And I don't like that idea. Sometimes I get charged and I forget to use it 12 times, you know. And I go right to the bank and say, no, listen, it's hard to make money. I'm not playing that game. If you don't want me here, I can bank with another bank. Say, no, you stay here. We'll give you your money back, you know. We'll give you your money back. I said, okay, they give it to me back. Now, why I don't like to use my debit card, I like using my credit card because every time I swipe it, they said to me, I have probably some things that are called redeeming reward I get on it. How many of you know that? What does that mean, redeeming? Okay, good. So that's what if I use it, I get nothing, you know, this way. What I do is to obey their policy, I just use it like, 10 times, you know, buy a dollar stuff, coffee for a dollar and anything, and 10 times and just done. Put it in my wallet and use my credit card. The month, and I just pay my credit card for my debit card. That's what I do. So I've been using it for a long time. What happened Every time I use it, this was true. They sent me some money. Now I just keep saving it. I have probably almost $300 redeeming. I never claim them. I just leave it like that. Every bit of time, I use it to buy, like when I pay my bills, you know, get a whatever things. Maybe, you know, buying a flight or when to call when I go to some of the places and to preach or preach my ministry. That's what I use it for. So here, it's called redeeming reward. So when I see this verse here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16 here, can I have one minute to read it here again for you? Let me just read it. I promise. Preacher never keep their promise. So anyway, except you, not me, except you. Exception, there's just, you keep it, but not me. I never keep my promise. Ephesians 5, 16, if you have it here. The Bible said, redeeming the time. Now, listen, I'll give you that illustration. I'll just keep in mind, please. Redeeming the time. What does that mean, to be redeeming? As a believer, in order to redeem my time, I use every bit of my time to do something right. If I use my time into... Now, listen, the time you spend right here, right now, do you know what you do? You didn't come here for entertainment or for ball game. Now, listen, you come here to... for the things of God. That's when you redeem your time. When I go serving Donald King, I give someone a gospel track. That person saved. I spent time to do that. What happened? I redeemed my time. That person saved. The Bible said here, when I get to heaven, I will get some reward in heaven. I redeem my time. When you give for mission or whatever things, maybe you're cleaning churches and playing piano or whatever thing, you do something right, you won't lose that. When you stand before God, He will say, "Well done, my child. Great and faithful servant." I wonder this evening, do you redeem your time? How do you spend your time? Things that has value? Or things, you know, just for entertainment, for your desire? I love fishing. I do. I really love fishing. But, you know, when I get time, I fish a lot. When I stand before God, you know, some days, God will say, "Well, Benson, you get a lot of fish. Here's your reward." No. He won't say that. He will give me reward for things I've done for His glory and His honor. And so do you, believer. Christ said, "I must work, and you too, you must work." He obeyed the Father. Obedience, His obligation, also you are to obey. God the Father placed you here for a purpose. Number last one. Observe the time. The time is evil right now. And then this is the time you need to serve God. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. And I trust that your people get this message, Lord. And sometimes we get so distracted. Father, would you please help us, Father, to serve and to live a life for Jesus Christ. So we love you. We thank you, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Pastor.